The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, last show of the work week, Friday morning here in central Oklahoma. The thunder is rolling outside. Hopefully, we'll have a nice downpour this morning. We could use some rain after a few weeks of dry weather. We've got a lot coming up this weekend in God's work. We've got the Toronto personal appearance campaign scheduled for Sunday evening, I guess late afternoon. More than 250 people registered for that event, and it is going to be quite an event. The Canadian work, they've got deacons and elders coming in for a conference this weekend. They're coming in from all over Canada, so they'll be there for their conference meetings and for the PAC Sunday afternoon as well. So I'll get to talk to trumpet readers Sunday afternoon, and then to deacons and elders in the church Sunday night. We're also taking six AC students with us on this trip, so it's a bit of an outreach from the AC campus here in Oklahoma as some students and a few of us make our way up to Canada and then down to Raleigh for the Monday night pack in North Carolina. During the trip, too, we're also hoping to broadcast live from the hotel in Toronto on Monday morning. So I guess this will be our second broadcast, our second live broadcast from Canada, if my memory serves me correct. I think we had one in Red Deer when we were up there a month or two ago. So it'll be good to broadcast live once again on one of these trips. Well, on yesterday's program, we talked about this entertainment-crazed society and the Fortnite World Cup and how many people are addicted to video games. And today, coming up in the second segment, we'll talk about the rising popularity of horror movies. In case you haven't noticed, this is not something that's limited to Halloween anymore. These are movies now, just really demented content coming out almost on a weekly basis. You hear of another horror movie title, one after another after another, people just filling their minds with this kind of content. We'll talk about that in the next segment. I also just want to spend some time here in the first segment referring back to some testimony in Congress from Dennis Prager. You might remember from a week or two ago, we did a segment on this analyst that was talking about how Google is impacting the elections in the United States, much more so than Russians. Google, that's right, the company in California. Well, during that same testimony, I think his name was Epstein, he testified that, yeah, they're influencing the election. During that same hearing, Dennis Prager also spoke about how Google is preventing some of his content. He comes out with those 5-minute videos, those informative educational videos every week. And Prager testified that it's crazy to think about how many of his videos have been banned, or at least it's been harder to get to his videos because of what Google, the Google police, have done. And then if we have some time, I've got a pretty thick stack of notes, however, but hopefully after the horror movie segment, we can finish on a positive note. There's another article. We've typically highlighted these as we see them, but another one just talking about the positive benefits to getting outside and walking. Well, last night, President Trump had another revved up rally in Cincinnati this time. Ripping into Democrats as is his custom. And of course, this past week, I guess it was Tuesday and Wednesday night. The Democrats had their debates. And after two rounds, really, they're kind of beating each other up now and picking on Barack Obama, which some of the liberal commentators didn't like. And, of course, President Trump is just sitting there. He must be beaming as he sees that there really isn't someone coming. I guess Joe Biden is the closest thing that there is to a legitimate front runner. But you may have seen some headlines yesterday, one from Michael Moore calling on Michelle Obama to save us from four more years of Donald Trump. They're getting worried. There's no one that really gets the base excited like they're hoping for. And so here's Michael Moore thinking that maybe Michelle Obama will be the one. I think Rush Limbaugh was on one of the Fox shows last night just talking about the message coming from these 24 Democrats who want to be president and how that it's all negative. It's no wonder. It's no wonder Donald Trump is as positive or as popular as he is because of a more positive message. The Jeroboam resurgence. Speaking of those Democrat debates, Defense One made a pretty good point about how that with both nights, really there wasn't much talk at all about foreign policy. It says here there was a post-superpower quality to this week's Democratic debates. On both nights, foreign policy came up near the end, and the discussion focused mostly on the need to withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan, avoid war with Iran, and in Michael Bennett's words, invest in America again. Defense One says that's fine as far as it goes, but there was strikingly little discussion about America's role in upholding a particular balance of power in the world. It says here it was almost as if these Democratic candidates were running for Prime Minister of Canada. This is the United States of America. And of course, I mean, for that matter, Donald Trump has certainly turned America inward to some degree as well. But this is the trend in the United States. Pull out of Afghanistan, don't get involved in another war, and invest in American infrastructure. But the thing is, America has been the one lone superpower these last many decades to maintain a certain amount of stability in the world today. And we've talked before about what happens when America withdraws from that responsibility. It's a dangerous world that we're living in. We had an article at The Trumpet, our website, this past week about Israel's preemptive strike on Iranian missiles in Iraq. This is from The Trumpet website. It says, on two different occasions last month, Israeli F-35 fighter jets struck Iranian missile depots north of Baghdad. This marks Israel's first airstrikes in Iraq since Operation Opera in 1981, when it bombed an Iraqi nuclear reactor. It says this escalation reveals the increased severity of the missile threat that Israel is facing. It also indicates that the United States may have given it the green light to open up a new front against Iranian targets in Iraq. That's from the Trumpet.com website. There were a number of stories this week, too, about Germany shunning the United States, the U.S. wanting to beef up security there in the Strait of Hormuz because of all these attacks coming from Iranian terrorists. Bloomberg says the matter of a naval mission to the Persian Gulf is a test of whether the U.S. or at least Donald Trump has any serious allies in Europe other than perhaps U.K. Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Germany, at least, isn't on board. Germany wants no part of it. And really, all that the U.S. has in the way of support from Europe, it's coming from Boris Johnson. It's coming from the U.K. So here you have the U.S. and the U.K. They're upset about what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz, and they want to send more military armaments there, ships and such. And Germany doesn't want to support or assist the United States. It says, even so, it took Johnson's takeover of the UK government for the country to come forward as a willing participant in any U.S. operation. It says further on, there's little doubt that the U.S. is capable of securing the Strait of Hormuz without any help at all from Europe, but its difficulty in getting such help shows the hollowness at the heart of the transatlantic alliance. And so here again, we see that alliance breaking apart, and this is prophesied. We know this is coming. We know the Bible says it'll happen. As you see, the United States and Britain too, more and more, they're going to be on the outside of Europe, isolated, alone. As I say, the world is a dangerous place, and there aren't too many leaders in the United States or Britain who are aware of the dangers. You certainly don't see it in the debates among the Democrats. Dennis Prager testified before Congress. It was a Senate hearing, I believe, on July 16th, so this goes back a couple of weeks. And I'll just refer you to that July 22nd program that we put together. I think the title is Iran Seizes British Tanker, Britain Does Nothing. But it was within that program that we talked about this this liberal professor. His name is Robert Epstein, and he was a Hillary Clinton supporter. He was a big fan of Google, all the big tech companies, going back to 2011 and 12. But then he started to see some disturbing reports about these companies and the way that they were behaving. And he began to sound the alarm in 2016. He had some concerns about privacy issues for average Americans. And then, of course, when it came to meddling in the elections, 2016, he showed in his testimony just how much of an influence, how much of an impact they had in 2016, and how that they're gearing up for a lot more meddling in 2020, because they're so far to the left and they've got to work with the media and with the Democrats to get Donald Trump out of office. That was from that July 16th hearing. And in the same hearing, here you had Dennis Prager, the columnist, the founder of Prager University, it's been called, and all these informative, educational 5-minute videos that they put out each week. I think by now there's hundreds of them online. Here's the beginning of Mr. Prager's testimony from a couple of weeks ago, clip one.
It is an honor to be invited to speak in the United States Senate, but I wish I were not so honored, because the subject of this hearing, Google and YouTube's, and for that matter, Twitter and Facebook's suppression of internet content on ideological grounds, threatens the future of America more than any external enemy. In fact, never in American history has there been as strong a threat to freedom of speech as there is today.
Quite a statement, Dennis Prager. This is a greater threat than any external enemy, he says. They're really attacking. They're on the attack, the radical left. They want to limit freedom of speech. Prager went on to say in his opening statement, clip two.
Breaks my heart that a vast number of young Americans have not only not been taught how lucky they are to be Americans, but have been taught either how unlucky they are or how ashamed they should be. It breaks my heart for them because contempt for one's country leaves a terrible hole in one's soul, and because ungrateful people always become unhappy and angry people. And it breaks my heart for America because no good country can survive when its people have contempt for it.
That part of his statement right there, it gives you some insight into the tone and the angle that he often takes with his videos. Just bringing to light American history, for example. The sacrifices that Americans have made. And there's a lot of people coming out of the academy, the left-wing academy, that hate that message. They want to see it suppressed. He's giving you some insights there into the left-wing educational system, more and more Americans graduating from university and hating America, hating Israel. He talks here in this next clip about these videos that his organization produces each week. Clip three.
PragerU releases a 5-minute video every week. Our presenters include 3 former prime ministers, 4 Pulitzer Prize winners, liberals, conservatives, gays, blacks, Latinos, atheists, believers, Jews, Christians, Muslims, and professors and scientists from MIT, Harvard, Stanford, and a dozen other universities.
In other words, there's a lot of diversity. He has, if you've seen his videos, you know, it's a who's who as far as the commentators of the United States stepping in to be the guest commentator for that particular week. He's had them come from every kind of background. And yet, he's come under attack. Why? Here's clip 4.
Yet Google, which owns YouTube, has restricted access to 56 of our 325-minute videos and to other videos we produce. Restricted means families that have a filter to avoid pornography and violence cannot see that video. It also means that no school or library can show that video.
So once Google puts the restriction on it, it's not that you can't, you have to have no filters to be able to see it. And of course, there's as he says, it's understandable that a lot of families out there would put filters on so that their children won't see some of the filth that's routinely on YouTube and such. But his complaint is that when they put these restrictions on his videos, they're putting it on the same level as pornography, hate speech, violence, that sort of thing. He went on to say, clip 5.
As regards Professor Dershowitz and the video on Israel's founding, we have 320 videos, 15 of them concern Israel, and half of them have at one time or another been restricted. There is clearly a loathing of Israel at Google. I suspect there is a loathing of America as well. Virtually every video that we have put out that depicts America in a favorable way has also been at some time or another on the restricted list. My favorite example for years was Victor Davis Hanson, this remarkable professor of classics, and he made a video. He's one of the most calm-speaking humans I have ever met. He's the opposite of a grenade-throwing speaker, and the subject was the Korean War. The Korean War in 5 minutes, and it is no longer on the restricted. They go in and out, apparently, in some cases, and that was on the restricted list because so I try to think, why would that be? And I could only come up with the fact that it shows how noble America's cause in Korea was, that 37,000 Americans died to keep half of the Korean Peninsula free. How many people even know that? The Korean War is in the rubbish bin of history, so as Lenin used to put it. It's just unknown. So we want people to be proud of America, not proud of its evils. Of course America's had evils because it's composed of people and people do evil. But it's largely been extraordinarily good, and they don't want us to depict that.
They don't like it. And so they restrict, what did he say, 56 out of the 320 videos. Now, what's astounding is that if you look at some of the other things that Google, which owns YouTube, allows to play, there's this case Andy Parker has been hounding Google for some time now because his daughter was shot on live television. She was a TV reporter. I think it was her and her producer or two people that were gunned down on live TV. And this is out there. Some of the videos have been pulled down, but not all of them. And so here's this guy who's saying, look, could you please pull down the videos of my daughter being murdered? Can you please take that off? And he can't get them to follow through. And here, Dennis Prager, he produces a 5-minute video on America's sacrifice in Korea to fight for freedom. And of course it's restricted. Of course it's restricted. And then the Google people come forward and say, well, you know, it's just our algorithms. They hide behind that. They won't accept responsibility for their obvious and blatant bias. He had a video on the Ten Commandments that was restricted because it used the word murder, as in thou shalt not murder. And that gets restricted. And the Google people say, well, you had murder in your content. Yes. Yeah, the commandment that says don't do it. Meanwhile, videos with actual murder. They're all over the place. They get lots of hits. And they make Google money. Let's be honest about it. One final clip from that testimony a couple of weeks ago, clip 6.
Well, as I explained earlier, it can't be seen by vast numbers of parents have filters, totally understandably given how much junk is on the internet. So we're this is what's so very important. It not only hurts us in that family can't see that video. It hurts us because then it is a statement by Google that Prager University produces videos on the moral level of pornography. I mean,
And there's no appeal. There's no remedy when
no, there is none.
Arbitrary power.
We have actually spoken to representatives of theirs that after they say algorithm, if we actually get someone on the phone, we have had humans review it at Google and keep it up. Why? That's community standards. Your video violated community standards. Well, how exactly does the founding of Israel by a Harvard law professor violate community standards? It just does.
It just does, says Google. You've violated our standards. They control it. They police all of the content. And as we know, they're radically left-wing. Big-time donors to Democrats, to Hillary Clinton. $0 given to Donald Trump. You know where they're coming from. And then you look at what they do. Look at their actions. Look at what they allow. And look at what they restrict. It's very revealing. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A turning point in recent history has gone almost entirely overlooked. Since that time, an unseen cause has brought about national and world troubles in unprecedented fashion. Crises are intensifying as never before. In our generation, we are seeing radical changes to culture, family, education, religion, science, finance, politics, international relations. Everything has been affected. You cannot understand events without recognizing this unseen cause. The United States has been shaken in astonishing fashion. Have you wondered why the world's number one superpower is declining so rapidly? Are you concerned about where the current administration is leading this country? The Bible provides penetrating insight into the invisible cause of society's decline. America is prophesied to fall before it rises again. The Bible also gives extraordinary insight into how that fall will come about. This insight puts the seriousness and urgency of current events in their true perspective. Understand what's in store for America and why. Visit thetrumpet.com and click on the literature tab to request this free, enlightening booklet, America Under Attack.
The Trumpet Daily.
We are in the midst of an Oklahoma downpour. You can hear it on the top of our studio. Sounds great. We need the water. We need the moisture. So it'll be nice to see the campus perk up and come to life over the weekend as things turn a little bit greener. Yesterday on the program, the title of that, Video Game Addiction and the Fortnite World Cup. I talked in that segment about the our entertainment-crazed society. I referred to 2 Timothy 3, the dangerous times that we're going to be living in the last days, says the Apostle Paul. And he said there that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent or without self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's life in the last days in our nations. And he says in verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We love pleasure, seeking pleasure more than we love God. I referred to the quote in The Missing Dimension in Sex, where Mr. Armstrong talked about the one-eyed monster. Television, movies, X-rated movies, pornography, in other words. And then the alcohol and drugs, the teens getting involved into anything and everything that stimulates sensation. The movies bring pleasures, he said. He wrote that last version of Missing Dimension back in 1981, which makes you think, what would he say today about the content that people are filling their minds with? I was going through this article from 1966, actually, earlier, much earlier than The Missing Dimension. It's on the foundational policy of Ambassador College, and it's amazing how prescient Mr. Armstrong is. He says in 1966, a fascinated, entranced world now looks ahead to the magic dream world, push button century 21. That's what we're in right now, the 21st century. He says, when human labor will be all but abolished with idleness, ease, and luxury enjoyed by all. As I was saying yesterday, we're at a point now where people are flocking to a stadium to sit in a chair so that they can watch others who are sitting in a chair staring at a screen. That's the push-button age that Mr. Armstrong was talking about. He says in this 1966 piece, isn't this breathtaking progress? So it seems. But there is the other side of the coin, and it's high time we awake from the trance and take a hard look. He says true progress is not measured by the false yardstick of gadgetry, mechanical devices, and the fatal concept that labor is a curse and idleness is a blessing. You heard that little boy yesterday talk about the downtime when he wasn't playing Fortnite. The dead time, that's when he's on Netflix and YouTube. That's all that he does. All that he does. They see idleness as a blessing. Science, industry, and modern education have concentrated on developing the machine while degenerating the man. That's what we're seeing. All these machines that are developing, all of the technologies, all of the graphics and movies, so true to life. It looks so realistic. And meanwhile, the actual man, the character of man, it's degenerating. Mr. Armstrong's writing about this in 1966. It says, education and the world of its creation has lost all knowledge of the purpose and true meaning of life. It has lost all sense of true values while blindly leading the pursuit of the false. Education has failed to teach the way to peace, happiness, and abundant well-being. The actual bitter fruits of this modern materialistic progress are increased unhappiness, discontent, boredom, and moral, spiritual, and educational decadence. He goes on to say that, you know, we're going the way of ancient Rome, Greece, Egypt, Babylon. That's the course that we're on. There he was in 1966, giving an accurate forecast about the coming century, the 21st century, the push-button age, the age of idleness and ease. Paul said it has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. From such, turn away. Turn away from it, God says. Shun it. Don't look at it. Don't fill your mind with it. Pleasure-seeking, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, just any kind of pleasure. And when you look at the pleasure-seeking, at least in the case of movies, well, it's this way across the board. But look at the content. Well, don't look at it. Turn away from it. But when you consider the content, like in the example of horror movies, as I said earlier, this used to be a Halloween thing. That pagan festival at the end of October. But now these kinds of movies, they're playing all year long. It says here, this is an article that says it used to be that horror movies were for winter when the nights were drawing in and summer blockbusters were in hibernation. Now the genre is a year-round proposition. It used to be that you released your horror movie in Halloween and called it something like Halloween. Now you release a horror movie in midsummer and call it midsummer. In the past few months, we've been getting more than a horror movie a week. In UK cinemas, you currently have the choice of Midsummer, Child's Play, In Fabric, Brightburn, and joining them this week, this is from July 15th, Annabelle Comes Home and The Dead Don't Die, with Welsh folk horror tale Gwen coming on Friday. And there's a whole summer of horror yet to come. This was an article from mid-July saying this is already what's out. We're nowhere near Halloween. And there's a whole lot more coming. It says every genre seems to be getting in touch with its horror side now. At the moment, horror is what's holding cinema together. Horror movies. And when you think, I had poor Jessica look at some of, or at least read about some of the content. I'm going to have to turn her loose on a happier subject. Midsummer, this movie. A young American couple, their relationship is in trouble, so they travel to this Swedish midsummer festival. It looks like a paradise up front. And then the story transforms into this very sinister, dread-soaked nightmare. It features multiple human sacrifices, all kinds of hallucinogenic drugs, sex-related rituals. This is midsummer entertainment. Child's Play is about a doll that comes to life and goes around murdering people. That's the movie. That's the story. People filling their mind. I was enjoying dinner last night with my extended family. My brother-in-law, Joel Hilliker, he's, I think his youngest is still 11 or 12. And he talked about something we can all relate to. Running for the remote control when you see a 30-second commercial or a 60-second commercial about one of these movies. Hurrying so that you can change the channel or turn the TV off. That's when you see it for 30 seconds. And yet, there are a lot of people in this nation, a lot of people in the world today, that when they see that 30 seconds, they say, I want to go see the whole movie. I want to fill my mind up with that for 2 hours. Oh, yes. Couple more examples. In fabric. It's during a busy time at a retail department store. And these various owners of a cursed dress, a dress that you put on, it shows how that this dress destroys their lives because it's cursed, it's haunted. In Brightburn, this is a superhero horror movie. This child from another world crash lands on Earth. And instead of becoming a world-saving Superman-like hero, that's what it used to be when they'd come from outer space. It was Superman. There was something more positive. Not today. No, he becomes this murderous, evil being with the same kind of powers as Superman. He goes around killing a lot of people and doing a lot of violent things. So much of this content, it's not even really something worth talking about. But imagine watching it. And then with today's technology, you think about the weeks to come. We've got the sequel to It coming out in September. The first It was the highest grossing horror movie or R-rated movie of all time. It took in $700 million at the box office. I forget when that came out, but here comes Chapter 2. And people are expecting it to smash box office records. You've got the first one, and then now the second one's coming out. This is a movie or a story about an evil celestial spirit being that manifests itself in different terrifying forms. You may have seen clips, this evil clown, Pennywise, going around devouring children. This is a movie. Think about it. This is a movie that's literally about an evil spirit being that wreaks havoc on the earth. And people love it. It's wildly popular. This movie about an evil being causing all this death and destruction on earth. What does your Bible say about a certain being confined to this earth, deceiving the whole world with this kind of content that people just love? They just lap it up, even as they go about denying that there's a real spirit world. God says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." He knows his time is about up. He's the author of these kinds of movies. You don't hear anything about this on talk radio. You don't see it in the news. Even conservative commentators, they just accept that this is the way it is. A lot of them probably consume this kind of entertainment. It's just normal. It's not normal. It's abnormal. It's coming from the mind of the devil. And we need to protect our children from this kind of filth, from this kind of demonic thinking, from this kind of demonic behavior. God says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Satan, the devil, wants to destroy our young people. He wants to fill their minds with violence and with sex, with drugs. You think about a lion in the wild. You look at footage of them, sometimes they can seem like, well, they're just these big, lazy, harmless cats. You may have read stories about a tourist getting out of a car so that he or she can get a better picture. And then suddenly, that lazy, harmless cat devours that human being. That's the way that Satan works. The Bible compares him to a lion, a roaring lion. They roar right before they go in for the kill. This is from Yahoo News about It, that sequel. They played, I guess they gave a viewing of it at Comic-Con. We probably need to do a segment on that because from what I've read, it's unbelievably popular. People flocking to San Diego, I guess it is this year. I don't know if it rotates each year, but all of these comic book fanatics. You see why there's tens of millions of dollars in all this. Fortnite was an example yesterday. It just shows if they're offering a $30 million purse at the Fortnite World Cup, that in itself shows how much this is being consumed. The horror movie, It, $700 million at the box office. And then you read a little bit about the movie itself. They kicked it off at Comic-Con to a chorus of shrieks and gallons of blood as New Line Cinema unveiled spine-chilling footage from It Chapter 2, the sequel to the highest-grossing horror movie of all time. It says the Warner Brothers-owned studio used Wednesday's preview night of the world's largest pop culture fan gathering, that's Comic-Con, to showcase its concluding film of Stephen King's 1986 novel, written in 1986, that's interesting, about a terrifying clown who lurks in the sewers, preying on children's most nightmarish fears. Talks about the two actors in this movie, that they're grown-up versions of the haunted children returning to their creepy hometown 27 years later to battle Pennywise the clown. That's just one movie. And then you look at some of the things on Netflix, on TV, Game of Thrones, Stranger Things. Common Sense Media says about Stranger Things, that's a popular Netflix series, themes of demonic activity and communication, government experiments on children, child death, depression, drug use, teenagers drinking alcohol, teenage sex. And guess what the audience demographic is like? Well, it's teenagers, young people consuming that. It's young people that love it. And parents, presumably, that say, yeah, that's fine, go ahead, watch it. We'll see you in a couple hours. Stranger Things. Marvel, those are wildly popular. They've got a movie out, Venom. That's basically a story about demon possession. And they try to make that like a nice comic book series or movie. You've heard before about Game of Thrones, a series that finally ended after, what, 7-8 years? It's not, I guess, strictly in the horror genre, but if you look at some of the horrific scenes that have come out of that series, rape, adultery, incest, and of course the violence, all kinds of violence. One of the parents reviewing on Common Sense Media said that Game of Thrones is not appropriate in some scenes for even for adults. Another one said, 18 and over? Try 30 and over. I had to stop watching the show myself because of how disturbing it was. A very interesting plot is intermixed. This is how Satan does it. It's intermixed with horrific images. Cursing, more graphic nudity and sex than in some softcore porn movies. Objectification of women, rape, mutilation, and the list goes on. Now, this was unbelievably popular. Game of Thrones. One viewer said, I found myself completely depressed after every episode to the point where I just had to stop watching. I was so depressed. Why do we see so much of this? This filth, this violence, this evil. So much of this demonic content. It's because it sells. It's lucrative. Darkness is popular. Demonic thinking is popular. Horrific activity. It's popular. People love to watch it. Well, we've had plenty over the years at thetrumpet.com about this. It's a matter of supply and demand. The public demands these kinds of programs, the kinds that shock, the kinds that are just filled with violence and illicit sex. We're going up against quite a lot, as I said on yesterday's show. I mentioned those verses, Philippians 4 and verse 8. This is what we have to fill our minds with. And you can see why Satan is just saturating the world with these kinds of things we've talked about on the last two shows, because he doesn't want you or your children to fill their minds with whatever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report. Paul said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think and meditate on these things. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Think on these things. It's a challenge, but even in Sodom and Gomorrah, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to police ourselves and, of course, our children as well. When we come back, I mentioned I wanted to finish on a positive note. This is the weekend content for many of our listeners who will listen to this program over the next couple of days. And this positive note I want to finish on is another study about the benefits of getting outside and walking. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Could anything be more mysterious than the question of the unseen spirit world? Angelic beings have always been a mystery to people on the earth. Do angels actually exist? Is there, in fact, a Satan, the devil? Is Satan a literal, immortal being? Did God create a devil? To understand more about the mystery of angels and evil spirits, be sure to request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
The Guardian in the UK had an article recently about Shane O'Mara's new book titled In Praise of Walking. O'Mara is a professor, and he's done a lot of research, brain research, focusing on stress, depression, anxiety, memory, cognition. And he has some interesting observations. He's drawn some interesting conclusions with respect to getting outdoors and walking. The Guardian says he knows this is not only through personal experience, but from cold, hard data. Walking makes us healthier, happier, and brainier. It makes us smarter. O'Mara says our sensory systems work at their best when they're moving around the world. You can see why the devil wants us glued to screens. He doesn't want us out moving about in God's creation, filling up on fresh air, getting exercise, clearing our minds, so that we can then better fill it with those verses like Philippians 4:8. O'Mara says, we can see from the scientific literature that getting people to engage in physical activity before they engage in a creative act is very powerful. It's very powerful. My notion, and we need to test this, is that the activation that occurs across the whole of the brain during problem solving becomes much greater, almost as an accident of walking, demanding lots of neural resources. When you're walking, he says, there are all sorts of rhythms happening in the brain as a result of engaging in that kind of activity. And they're absent when you're sitting. One of the great overlooked superpowers we have, he calls it a superpower, is that when we get up and walk, our senses are sharpened. Rhythms that would previously be quiet suddenly come to life. And the way our brain interacts with our body changes. It all happens the moment we get up and we start walking. From The Guardian, it says, some people, I point out, don't think walking counts as proper exercise. This is a terrible mistake, O'Mara says. What we need to be is much more generally active over the course of the day than we are. And often, an hour at the gym doesn't cut it. When you see, it says, what you see if you get people to wear activity monitors is that because they engage in an hour of really intense activity, they engage in much less activity afterwards. So he's a proponent of spreading it out and of course, more moderate exercise through the day, just more general activity. It says not that he's opposed to vigorous exercise, but walking is much more accessible and easily woven into everyday life. It's easier to get this in, he says, when you put it together with stretching, warm up, and so on, then there's real benefit there. Well, he goes on to talk about some of the studies that have been published over the years, and he brings up some historical figures who loved to walk. William Wordsworth, he wrote poetry as he walked around. Charles Dickens was a prolific walker and writer. It says Aristotle would deliver lectures while walking around his school. And on it goes. When I read this article, it made me think of this book I mentioned the other day, Undaunted Courage. It's talking about Meriwether Lewis, his upbringing. He's the one that traveled out west in the early 1800s, the Lewis and Clark team. But it explains the relationship. Jefferson was a bit older at the time, but it explains the relationship that Jefferson had with Lewis. They both came from Virginia. And this article, or rather this book, talked about how Meriwether Lewis was a fearless rider of horses. He was an excellent horseman. And Jefferson, he believed, this is in the late 1700s and the early 1800s, he believed that the taming of horses had resulted in the degeneracy of the human body. What would he say today? He thought, well, I don't know. And Jefferson himself was a great rider of horses. He gave in to the technology advancing at the time, riding a horse instead of walking. But Jefferson said, look, you get on a horse too much. And getting on a horse today, that would be considered like at the peak of active behavior. Back then, I don't know, said Jefferson, we're getting lazy. In any event, Jefferson, he urged young people to walk for exercise. And this book says that Lewis, Meriwether Lewis, took his advice and became a great hiker. He became, obviously, a great explorer. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send comments to td at kpcg.fm. And don't forget the TDRS page at thetrumpet.com, where you can click on the red button to submit audio feedback as well. We haven't played much of that of late, so we'll have to do that next week. Thank you for joining us on today's program. Thank you for joining us all week. And we'll see you on Monday from Toronto.